Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 737. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I am fully committed to what we're building on this podcast, and I have the full support of this podcast and its athletic department.
Okay. Yep. We'll see how long that lasts, but Earl is here.
Yeah, and you know, just like the Yankees, I'm also on vacation.
Yeah.
And Jeff is here.
Go Cubbies.
Yeah, holding on against the best team in baseball. So,
see, that's one.
Good for them.
I'm a Sox fan. I don't really watch baseball, but I'm a Sox fan. But
nah.
I'm not like some of the people here who are like hate the other team. I'm just like, well, they're ones in the playoffs, so maybe. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I approach baseball. It's like I don't follow the Phillies throughout most of the year. I check in on them in September. Oh, they're pretty good. They're in the playoffs. I guess I'll watch the last three innings of every playoff game. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been doing with the Cubbies.
So yeah. Well, good for you. That's the rest of us. Although, Tony, what do you cheer for baseball? Do you?
Of course, I'm a Red Sox fan.
Okay.
And they appeared in the postseason very briefly and then disappeared.
Yeah. So Jeff is the only one still holding a team in the the baseball playoffs. So
pretending they're my team for right now.
Hey.
Yeah. Listen, Chicago needs it.
Hey, I'm happy for, you know, my friends are all Cubs fans, so it's, you know, it's cool.
There we go. Yeah, we've been away for 2 weeks because we started our new bi-weekly? Is that how?
Bi-weekly.
Yes,
bi-weekly.
I always get that, like, mixed up because it's like bi-weekly would be twice a week, isn't it?
It's very dumb.
Yeah, okay. Good. I'm glad I'm not like insane. It's just very stupid and confuses me every time.
You use bi-monthly to mean twice a month, but twice a month, like it's not technically twice a month.
Right. Yeah. It's like, we'll be here every other week. Got lots of things happened over the last couple weeks. Games have come out. We've played some games. We've got some other stuff to talk about, but Earl stopped by in Philly. This week he was here for a few days, and he finally had a cheesesteak. Earl, how was the cheesesteak?
It was actually a really good cheesecake. I think we all agreed it was a lot of cheesecake. Cheesesteak, I should say.
I was going to say.
I think we all bought back half of it. I had half of it for my hotel room. It was a great snack to snack on for the other 2 days I was there for a conference. So. But no, it was a very good cheesecake. Cheesesteak. Why didn't you say cheesecake?
I don't know.
I mean, a really good cheesecake is also good.
Yes,
it is. But it's not what I had.
No.
Cheesecake. But yes,
it was. Where did you take him, Chris? Was it to the one of the famous ones or was it to a different one?
No. So Earl was, he was like two or three blocks from City Hall. So like when I was looking for places like near him, there's a place called Taste Cheesesteaks. It's just like a local little place. It's like very small. I've never been there before, so it was like rolling the dice. They were very good. They were very good cheesesteaks. And they were weird because they also had a salmon cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Earl. Yeah, but we did not try that. We did not see anybody get it. They also had a oxtail cheesesteak, which was really expensive.
Fancy.
So here's the question. Was it better than any cheesesteak you've had in New York, Earl? Okay.
I've not had a ton of them, so... But it was really good.
This one was weird in like the way the bait their base comes, like they put mayo on it, which isn't something we generally do here. So look, we all got them without mayo. Earl got his with onions and peppers. Onions is a standard add. It's not mandatory, but it's kind of like one of the two things outside of cheese that you would get on it. The peppers are, some places do them, some places don't. I thought their bread was really good. They had two choices of bread, which was just like a regular long roll or a sesame long roll. I think we all got the sesame, and that was really good. It was good stuff. They had drinks there that had like little lights in them. In plastic cups, though, which was weird.
I guess we knew why. It was just really weird from a technical standpoint of, this isn't fancy.
No.
Pinkies up. Pinkies up for your cheesesteak.
Yeah. But my wife and I both were like, we're not often in that area, which is like kind of like a business district. But there are reasons that you would end up down there, especially during holidays. Because around City Hall, they do like little villages and shops and stuff. Like we would add that to a place to like pick up another cheesesteak if we were in the city. Did you stop in Reading Terminal by chance?
I did not. So what happened was, so the conference provided food for lunch. So they're not great food, but it was free food. And then I would meet up with friends. Like, I met up with you on Monday, and I met up with a friend on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I went to the conference, and I was just like, nothing's going on here. So I'm just going to, I was like, can I get it or a bus train home? And I found one for like 12:15, almost 3.5 hours before I was going to Virginia. And I got to the terminal at 12:13.
Oh, wow. Like,
I'm hugging my luggage around, you know, just trying to like, okay, I'm going home. So I wanted to spend a bit more, but it was like, I got there and like, there was nothing going on. There was no other, like the panels were done for the session. There was a closing ceremony at like 1, but I'm like, nothing else. I had lunch and I'm like, I'm done. I'm good. I did everything I needed to do or I could do here. And I got home and it was good because I have a wedding this weekend. So I got home, I got a haircut, I got some shoes. I'm like, so, and then I forgot if I mentioned it, but everybody at work was just harassing me for stuff to do. And I'm like, it's weird because I'm not working, but I'm also not working in the sense that I was on. So a bunch of stuff came up that I had to eventually take care of. So I did. And yeah, but no, it was funny. I had mentioned this to you and I think to other people is that I've gone to Philly twice in the past 18 months and neither time has been to go to Philly.
you were here for WrestleMania too, right?
Like, WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, we caught up briefly in the stadium there. Well, I'm glad you had a good conference. Now you're back home and we can talk about Game Pass increasing their price by 50%.
The insane idea.
It is. Like now it's $30 a month now for Ultimate. PC Game Pass has moved from $11.99 to $16.99. I think I'm not sure if the other two, to be fair, I did not check the other two tiers. I don't know if they went up in price as well. I assume they did. Subscriptions, expensive now.
It's very expensive. Much money.
And I will and do like, nothing about it. I'll let that shit keep rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I like Game Pass. I like everything that Bryce. And I mean, honestly, I don't think it's, I think it was probably underpriced for what it offered before, but
yeah, maybe,
but for the increase in, well, yeah,
it's a big they increase. Moved
it really up. And the other thing is like, they're like, okay, but we're offering you all this other stuff. And like, the new things that they added to Game Pass, I am not interested in any of it. It's like, here's Ubisoft classics. Right, I don't care about old Ubisoft games. I don't care about like more skins in Fortnite. Like there was just nothing that they were offering new that appealed to me at all. Now, does this mean I'm going to like ditch Game Pass? No, but like, if you're going to tout this as we added all this stuff, which is why we're increasing the price, it's not true. Like, don't.
Right. Like, yeah. I think for us, like, we're still just getting the same service that we did before. Like, yeah, there's Ubisoft Classic, but we don't need it. The Fortnite, like, that might interest you, Earl, right? Like, the
Fortnite crew.
Yeah. Cause it's like you get like a selection of V-Bucks plus like, the monthly skins and stuff,
and you also get the battle pass.
So yeah, it's probably worth it for you if you're actively still playing Fortnite. I'm not, so,
and that's the thing. It's like there's value for certain people, but it's not necessarily value for everybody.
And Fortnite at this point has been around for ages. Like, I'm assuming the reason that Epic is doing this is like there's a declining player base, I would think. Well,
or there's just, you know, there's benefit in getting people into that ecosystem.
Yeah.
And you know, holding them there. Although they are like adding like weird shit into Fortnite. I don't know. I don't know if we've gotten numbers from Fortnite recently. I assume it's still very, very popular.
Yeah.
I mean, what they announced like 65 games.
Yeah, I didn't see anything I want to play.
Well, they announced 65 day one games in the next year. So like they didn't say what they were. They were just
I saw some list of games. Oh, the ones that we were just talking about that they added. I was just like, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah, none of that was like, oh yeah, this is added value for me. But like, I'm gonna play Outer Worlds 2, right? That's what.
Yeah,
Outer Worlds 2.
When is that out?
I'm soon.
A couple weeks, like 2 weeks.
Yeah, the third week of October, I think. I'm gonna play that. I will play Call of Duty. Here's the thing that like I don't. This ties into the Game Pass stuff. Microsoft. Reports out of them are that they lost $300 million by having it in Game Pass last year. I don't know if that's true. Like, their player base increased. But I don't know if you can say that all those people that the players, all the increase in players for Call of Duty were going to buy Call of Duty. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't gonna buy Call of Duty last year. Most likely, I like Call of Duty, but I don't buy it every year.
Yeah,
it's like one of those things where it's like these companies go, "Oh, we lost $300 million due to piracy." Well, you didn't, because they weren't all gonna watch your show or play your game. Like, you might have lost some sales, but it's not the amount, the exact amount of the people that. Your thing increased. But yeah, I'll play Call of Duty. It's part of Ultimate. I'll play Gears E-Day when that comes out next year. And there's
will,
six.
Will you play though the Grinch Christmas Adventures?
I saw that today.
All right. So funny story. I played that game last year. they delisted it in September. This is a reissue of that same game. Just with like
I didn't know it's now the Merry and Mischievous edition.
Yes. So. It's like the super deluxe. That game sucks. But if you need a Christmas game, I guess it'll work. it's a pretty shitty platformer though. Yeah, so I don't know. I went out and bought like 6 months of Game Pass.
Yeah.
Cause they were like $20 a piece for Game Pass Ultimate. So I'm like booked out through October.
Where was this?
I bought them on Amazon. The day they announced it.
Dude, the funny thing for me is I probably use Game Pass less than any of you. And I also use Xbox Live less than most people. I don't play a lot of online games. And I will do absolutely nothing to correct anything. Like, I'm just going to, all right, it's $30 now. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not going to look at it. Whatever. I'm terrible with shit like that.
It's not, I mean, really, it's not a huge amount of money. Yeah. And when you think about the number of games that you're not buying because they're on the platform, like, that's kind of where I'm
at. Yeah, and I will, you know, like, I will play Outer Worlds for sure. So, you know, yeah.
And we'll probably all play Fable when that finally releases. Forza Horizon 6 next year. Yeah.
That new Perfect Dark. Oh, wait.
Oh, that's not coming yet. That one's dead. Yeah. I had like the emotional reaction everyone had at first. It's like, because it is. It is a big increase. Like 50% is a lot more than it was. But I'm going to use the service, so.
It would not feel as bad if Microsoft did not feel as if they were kind of in disarray right now. Like, I don't know, like, maybe I'm alone in thinking that, but it just feels like they keep closing studios, canceling games, and some of the games they do get out are not that great, and it just, not that Sony's been really fucking great this generation either, but it's just, I don't know.
I think that's a big issue for a lot of people is like the value proposition doesn't go up.
And you keep getting like the rumor keeps coming back that they're getting out of hardware, although I don't believe that. But
I don't either. It doesn't make sense for them to toss away their ecosystem. Even if they're only retaining us and like people like us, you're still making all of that money off of people like us buying through your service, and that's not nothing. Like there's a reason that Ubisoft still has their store open, like, and they only sell their shit on it. So that's Game Pass. Also, you know, a little bit of Xbox talk there. EA is, they're getting bought,
by
they're being bought by the Saudi government and, Jared Kushner. So heroes all through there.
Cool. Great.
It's a leveraged buyout of $20 billion plus another $35 billion. So it's a total package of $55 billion, which is markedly more than a current stock price. So when they vote on it, which I don't believe they have yet, it will likely get approved. And it's going to take, looks like fiscal year 27 is when it will be approved. So got about 18 months before that actually happens, but we'll see. I don't know how long BioWare and, who are the Titanfall devs?
Respawn.
Yeah. I'm not sure how long they'll live under this new setup. Looks like they are looking for the sports stuff and like the mobile stuff that EA does out of this. So hopefully we get that Mass Effect game before this all goes down. be nice to get Mass Effect 5 before they shut BioWare down.
Are they? Is that an announced thing that I just don't remember?
There's a new Mass Effect game in development. Okay. Yes. And I believe the entire studio is now working on it now that Dragon Age came out last year. So hopefully see something about it. Still
haven't played that one.
The Veil Guard, right? I think it's part of Game Pass now.
It's on Game Pass, yeah. You can play it.
I think I got added recently, and I still have not. I'm busy with my other RPGs, etc.
Well, play those first anyway, because
yeah.
So, yeah. So how do you guys feel about the Saudis and Jared Kushner buying buying EA?
Fantastic.
That'd be great now.
I mean, it's one of those things where you think about who owns, like, the people who own all of these publicly traded companies that you normally buy stuff from, like Microsoft. They're all horrible people.
Yeah.
They're not good people. And like, okay, well, we know who Jared Kushner is. But like the people who are like involved in investing and all that, like they're not great. So it's like, okay, well, it's owned by these other people now, then I probably should not like them and whatever, but I don't know. I without making like a critical analysis of all of the game companies, it's really hard to like focus in on these particular ones.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a pattern out of the Saudi government of like purchasing up cultural stuff.
Like golf?
Like they bought golf. They've invested heavily into wrestling, pro wrestling. They just did that comedy festival. I believe they bought Evo. Do they own Evo? I think they might own the biggest fighting game tournament in the world now. So like they're buying like weird stuff to like
get cultural. They're just embracing Western culture, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a way of like laundering their image worldwide. Mm-hmm. I mean, if does it work, I don't know. But Earl, you don't watch the WWE.
When they go to Saudi Arabia, stuff, no. Right. That is my that is my moral stance. It's still an awful company, but
yeah, like that's the thing, right? Like WWE, kind of a shitty company, regardless.
But it somehow made they somehow found a way to make it worse. So,
yeah, I don't know how. Like Tony, I think I'm very similar to you on this. It's like I don't know. Like,
yeah, I.
Like Ubisoft kind of seems shitty. Like EA yeah. seemed shitty before this. Like
yes.
now they're just kind of more shitty. Like at times Sony seems shitty. Microsoft often seems shitty. Yeah. Everybody's shitty. Why does everybody have to be shitty?
Nintendo's cool. They just put out little baby videos.
I mean, if you go on to Reddit, Jeff, there are a contingent of people that absolutely despise Nintendo
for like moral reasons.
No, just in general, I think they just hate Nintendo. I don't know. Well, I think they always hate fun.
Those people.
I think they just hate fun.
Yeah, those people just don't know what they're talking about.
So that's the news I got. Unless Earl, you caught anything?
I think that I don't know if it's news, the Pikmin thing, or the not Pikmin thing.
That's what I just mentioned. Yeah,
the baby yeah, thing, Jeff. Is that what you were referring?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know it was Pikmin related.
The first day it came out, it was just a video with the baby, and then it was just like check out this thing, and then the next day, I guess they added the Pikmin to it.
There was like people debating whether it was Pikmin or it was supposed to be related to the new Super Mario Galaxy movie. And I don't know how there was any debate whatsoever because it had Pikmin music in the fucking thing, man. Like,
well, you have to realize
how. Not only Pikmin music, but like the environments and stuff looked like Pikmin 4. And it's just like, dude, maybe if you've not
played Pikmin. It's based off the sales, most people haven't played Pikmin.
You would not get it. Played Pikmin. Except the problem was, it was not related to a game. It was just like them trying out their animation studio
I don't think it's related to a game. I think it's probably related to like a movie. But I think it's related to
something. It was literally, they said like a few days after that, it was an animation studio.
I think it's a test run for the movie or an animated.
Yeah, like cutting out Illumination.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. That's dumb,
but whatever.
I mean, I say at the same point, I've not paid a Pikmin. Like people, I mean, I've not paid Pikmin a ton. People are talking about the music and stuff. I didn't notice with Pikmin lore that they're invisible to the human eye.
I didn't know that either, but I didn't need to know that. Like, it's just like, if you watch a video, right, and the Super Mario theme plays, you're gonna be like, oh, this is Mario, somehow yeah, Mario related. Like,
you have to understand that Pikmin isn't the level of Mario.
That's what I'm. I get that, but like. Because the fact that there was any debate about outside. It is like, talk to somebody who knows, because there was no debate in my mind. It's nothing to do with the Mario movie.
If some Pikmin fans came in and went, hey, like, that's Pikmin music.
Exactly. Apparently, our word isn't good enough.
Well, there's only like seven of you, so.
Hey, Pikmin 4 did really well, I think. It was a bummer to me because I'm like, man, I was hoping 5, and it's not going to be another decade between games. But I think we'll get a Pikmin on this Switch.
I'm not gonna pick on Pikmin too much, but I mean, Pikmin doing well is like opening month for like a Mario game.
I mean, everyone has their little stars out there. I really liked Pikmin 4. I thought it was fun. So.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
So that you think they're going to be cutting out Illumination, which would make I don't know if it makes sense.
I think
Illumination knows how to make movies.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a bad idea. I think that's the idea that they have. I think it's a bad idea. Nintendo knows how to make video games. You know?
Yeah, and I bet they saw what the Mario movie made. And we're like, that could all be ours.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but they know how to make movies. Like, they know how to get the big stars to sign on for them. Just license your shit out and be happy.
Yeah.
All right. So, been a couple weeks. What have you guys been playing since we last talked? Jeff?
I'll go.
Yeah.
Well, I will say one last thing about... Because the last time I was on, I was talking about Chronos, the New Dawn.
Yep.
And I believe I said that, like, part of me wants to say it's, like, brilliant, and then part of me wants to say it's garbage.
Yes.
And that, like, tension lasted throughout the entire game. Like... I still don't even know, man. Like,
and it's amazing push, yeah. Though. It's like, is this good or is it bad? I'm not sure, but I'm still in it.
Yeah, like the things that I think are cool about it are really great, and then there's things that were annoying, and that kind of just went on the whole time. And so, like, I don't know where I land on. I really don't know where I land on the game, or even on like Bloober as a developer. I'm just kind of like on the. Offense about that, you know. I think it was an interesting game with that, like, some really cool atmosphere and music, and actually see interesting level design at points where I think I sent you, Chris, the MC Escher painting, where I'm like,
yeah,
this is what it feels like trying to get to the fucking anywhere, like, because you could literally like walk on the walls and the ceiling and shit after a while, like you get the ability. So it's just like, which way is up or down or where the fuck am I going? But I actually didn't finish it. I got to the very last area and I got sucked up into other stuff and I just never went back, and I don't want to. I don't want to like get mad at the ending because I know, you know, it could be like a frustrating final boss. I just fuck it. It was good enough. I played through most of it. It's hard to recommend with knowing like Silent Hill F is out and apparently great. I have not played it, but you know, got like really good reviews. So it's like, if you're looking for survival, or I guess probably go for that. But look for Chronos on sale at some point.
So you would recommend it, you know, on sale for like fans of like Resident Evil, Silent Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I will keep an eye out for it,
but. Mostly, I've been playing. I bought Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D, whatever the fuck. And I've been playing a lot of that game. I really, really enjoy Dragon Quest III. Which, you know, I was a little worried because, you know, it's like it's an RPG from fucking NES, you know what I mean, right? Like,
yes, yes.
And I feel like the, again, I have not played the original, so I don't know, but I feel like whatever they're doing with these HD 2D, whatever the fuck, really does a lot to make it feel like modernized and like a new RPG. And I did at one point, I was like looking up how to do something in the game, and I found a YouTube video of like the original game. And like looking at that, I was like, yeah, I probably would not play this. I've been playing this game for 43 hours now. I doubt I would have done that with the NES original. And I'm sure there's things about the NES version that make it harder. Like, for all I know, it doesn't have, like, you know, zoom, like the ability to fast travel. Maybe it does.
I don't believe it does.
Okay.
I think you just had to walk the map back then.
Yeah, so there's tons of things then that make this a lot, you know, less and more modern feeling. And it was very easy to, like, slip into because the bones of it are exactly the same as Dragic. You know, like, the menus, the spells. Like, if you know the spells, you know, from Dragon Quest XI, you're going to be fucking fine here. Like, the text, the way you save, everything is the same. So it's like, there was a learning curve getting into this. And the only, like, adjustment was, like, getting, oh, it's not a big thing, but, like, you know how the battle screens are in NES games? Like, you don't see your characters. It's kind of like a first-person view of you looking at a group of enemies, and then you just, like, you shoot a fireball, you just see the fireball fly at the enemy or whatever. Like, but that, I got over that really quick. I didn't love at first the random encounters, because the way it is in Dragon Quest XI is you could see the enemies walking on the map and decide whether to engage in or not, and here it's just like every 10 feet you're in a fight.
Yes.
But as the game has gone on, it's like you need that, because you will hit points at bosses where, like, you really need to be, make sure you're leveled up and have your equipment up and all that. So,
That's what I was. So I've not played 43 hours of it, but I've played a bunch of it. And my concern with you going into it was that, like, are you gonna nope out of the fact that there's grinding? Because, like, you have to, like, go and do those random encounters to beef your guy up.
It's definitely, like, way more grinding. Like, there's times at Dragon Quest XI where you're like, I'm not ready for this. I should probably, but, like, again, it's not like this. This is a lot more, but I love the game so much that, like, this is, like, I know this is not from this year, but this is easily one of my favorite games this year that I've played. And, like, it's right up there with Dragon Quest XI for me. That's how much I love 3. Now, you said you played this remake?
Yep. Yep.
Did you ever play it, like back in the day when you were a kid, like the original?
So I played the original Dragon Quest, and that was, like, that's it. That's my Dragon Quest. Like, okay. I never played anything except for the original Dragon Warrior.
So that, and then you've played this remake that I'm playing, right? Yeah.
Yes, which is supposedly the first, like, the way the narrative goes is it goes 3-1-2. Yeah. So, like, 3 is the first game in the story that continues through the rest of them.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I love this game a lot, and it's, like, exciting because I'm like at the end of the game now. I'm stuck at a boss, like, very close to the end. Like, once I beat this boss, I'll be going to the last area, and that's the end of the game.
Nice, awesome.
And which is cool because in a couple weeks, Dragon Quest 1 and 2 are coming out, and I know I read about that. I know 3 is, like, the one that kind of, like, set the standard for, you know, what the series is going forward. Like, I even read that Dragon Quest 1, just you as the hero, which is nuts to me. But it looks like they're shorter games. And I just, at this point, after playing Dragon Quest XI and playing this remake, I am like a huge, huge fan of the series. I really love it. So I will be picking that game up at the end of the month and playing through it.
One I'm really excited for is that Dragon Quest VII.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Remake.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because it looks like it looks more modern than these ones, but still has kind of like that nostalgic flair to it. So, anything else, Jeff?
No, I've really been focused on Dragon Quest, man. It's so much fun and doing some grinding right now.
Cool, Earl. Did you get to play anything over the last couple of weeks?
Not a ton new, you would think. I have some Fortnite. I played a bit of, I think I tried some Helldivers. I need to get more into that. I finished, what is that game that I always talk about? Orcs Must Die. We beat all the bosses, which is how we're counting completion of that. And I think more Donkey Kong and then Hades 2. But I think I want to spend a bit more time with Hades 2 before I talk about it.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say about Hades 2.
So. And then there was something. The Ninja Turtles roguelike game, but I think I've talked about that before. But again, I saw a friend playing Hades 2, and I just kind of got like there's just something about like that dodge and the movement mechanic that just kind of gets you going.
That Turtles roguelike is very much like Hades, right? Like,
yes, it's very much.
Yeah. That's cool. Tony, play anything?
So earlier this year, I started a game where you play as this girl in feudal Japan, where she watches her father get killed by a gang of, masked people and then goes on a quest for vengeance.
Oh, the Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Yeah, so this past week I started a game where this girl watches her family get killed by a gang of masked men in feudal Japan and goes on a quest for vengeance.
So you restarted Assassin's Creed Shadows.
No, I'm playing Ghosts of Yochai now. It's so funny how close the opening plots to these two games are. It just blows my mind how they were designed in parallel and basically came up with like, oh, this is the best way. It's like they had AI designed like what the optimal plot would be and came up with the same answer. So they're not the same game though. Like the gameplay, if you played Assassin's Creed and you played Ghost of Tsushima, like the games play fundamentally differently. Assassin's Creed is very sneaky, especially when you're playing. I can't remember the woman if you're playing as the woman.
Naue.
In Ghost of Yotai, it's a lot more combat focused. It's like getting into duels and fighting. I think some of the more fundamental differences in the games are in the use of the controls. Like I don't play a whole lot of games on PS5, but it's kind of cool. They have mechanics where you're like using the touchpad on the PS5 to play a musical instrument, or to make like. There's a part at which she's like making her list of the people that she's going to kill, and you're like using the touchpad to write out the Japanese characters.
Okay.
It also I think has a much darker bent to it. Like she goes off on her quest, announcing that she's going to kill all of these men and then rejoin her family. So like, it's like I'm going to kill these people and then kill myself.
Kill myself, yeah. That is very, very dark.
It's very, very dark. You can play the entire game in like a classic black and white spaghetti western type view if you want to. It's they are definitely leaning into that kind of darker part of it. I haven't played a ton of it so far, but it does have a lot in common with that other Japanese. I think they're in the same time period. The weapons are like very similar. I look forward to playing more, but it is just so weird how close they are together.
That is wild, because they were both like in development at the same time, to just be like,
yeah,
we're gonna have female protagonists whose families are gonna be murdered by a group of masked dudes.
All right, I missed the beginning of this. I'm assuming you're talking about Ghosts of
Yotai. Ghost
of Yotai.
So what's the other game you're talking about?
Assassin's Shadows. Creed Shadows.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Very close narratively.
That is. Yeah.
To start. I'm sure there's. I'm sure there's changes, but.
By the way, I even fell off that game, although like for no reason at all. I love Shadows. I played 30 hours. I felt like I got my fill.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the problem with that game, is that it's just, there's so much to do and it's so long.
And I was like, I was starting to like close in and on everybody. Like I felt like I was getting over like a hump, but I was just like, basically I just got sucked into Dragon Quest and Chronos and stuff. Yeah. So nothing against the game at all. Really good.
It's kind of been the problem with the Assassin's Creed RPGs, really, is they're so long.
Yeah.
just so much.
But you know, hey, you know,
if you're getting your fill after 30 hours, so you can't really complain. Like,
yeah.
And also
it's a good chunk of time.
Oh no, like if you really love that game, and it's like that could take up a lot of your year. You know what I mean? Like you could spend a good chunk on it. So I don't know. I'm fine with it. It's just,
yeah,
it's more a me thing than anything.
Yeah, no.
I think the other nice thing about the Assassin's Creed RPGs is each area in the game tends to have like a complete storyline unto itself. So, like, you feel like you've done something even if you haven't actually finished the game.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else, Tony?
I've been playing.
Oh, go
ahead, Earl.
Did we talk about the Assassin's Creed that was canceled because Ubisoft thought it would be too political?
No,
I didn't. I just saw that before the show.
Yeah,
it sounded cool.
Civil War, like post-Civil War era Assassin's Creed, where you would play a former slave that was killing, I guess, Confederates and the KKK, the KKK that's forming up at that time. Sound really awesome.
I would
Donald's like awesome. Trump's gonna sue us for this, so.
Yes.
Can't go woke anymore, guy. No, could you imagine? That would be so fucking awesome.
So we can't have fun. We can't have cool fun things anymore. It's all garbage. I can't wait for that group to announce their alternative halftime show.
Turning Point.
Yeah.
They don't have anything lined up, but there's going to be Creed.
I do love that somebody asked Speaker Johnson his opinion on it, and none of them have an opinion. Like, they're like, I don't know who Bad Bunny is. My experience with Bad Bunny is
wrestling. He said,
I know him.
He said they should play Lee Greenwood.
Lee Greenwood. He's more broad. He has a more broad appeal than Bad Bunny, who is the biggest music star currently in the world.
Lee Greenwood had like one, like he had like one hit song in the Bush era, like the Bush administration, 20 fucking years ago.
Yeah, God Bless the USA. I don't know if that's what the name of the song is, but...
Yeah, that's like all he's really known for, right? Like,
yes, that's it.
As far as I know, yeah.
It's like that. That's his big,
that's
big
what, song. That's his reference. That's his pop culture reference.
Yeah.
You fucking dweeb.
That's who should be headlining the Super Bowl. Jesus Christ.
Dude, you know Mike Johnson got fucking shoved in lockers, man.
Oh yeah, he did.
Just look at him.
I'm curious to see what happens with that. Their alternate, because nobody's gonna watch it.
No.
No, I don't think anybody will watch it, and then they'll be all pissy pants that nobody watched it.
You know what? Go ahead,
Jeff.
You know what? I wonder is like, do conservatives like,
no,
even watch football anymore? Do they like watch movies anymore or anything? Because like everything is just like, oh, it's woke, it's against me, blah blah blah. It's like, I don't think they do anything.
It always reminds me of that. There's that old, I mean, this is like 15 years old thing of like that same group where we're going to boycott Call of Duty. And then they go and like 90% of the people are playing Call of Duty that open in the weekend. So many people want to talk big. But you look at these numbers and you can't say that people are not doing the things they're trying to do. The things that I think are long term tend to really be more on the left side, because you see it in stuff like Target and how their traffic's been down throughout the year. You saw it with the Kimmel thing, and people canceling those subscriptions. But a lot of times, you don't necessarily see it with people being like, I'm not going to watch the new Superman movie because it's woke. I'm not going to watch this because it's woke. And then it's like,
I genuinely believe conservatives don't like watch movies anymore. Like, they just consume, like, podcasts and shit. Maybe that's meaning... stupid, but I just feel like they don't.
No, they watch stuff. I just think, again, they'll complain about it and talk about how woke it is, but because again, like the alternative, like they get like one religious movie every so often.
Finally got that fucking fly. Thank God. Sorry. Dude, this fly has been driving me insane all night.
I think I'm with you, Earl. I think they do watch stuff. I think that they either convince themselves that it's not woke if they like it, or they just,
you think they're running up to see one battle after another or fucking
no,
anything.
But I don't
like, dude, anything like you, I don't think they go to the theaters. I don't think they do this shit.
I think they go see Marvel. I know they went to see Superman. Some of them came out going, that was horrible. For I don't know why it felt like Superman. I think they go see like the stuff that makes $1 billion.
So then you think they're still watching like NFL and all that too?
Absolutely. They are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know some creepos that I know that they watch football.
It's like, it's funny because like the only people like my age who I consider friends who are conservative are like the most normal conservatives you've ever met in your life. Like they don't like Trump or any of that shit, but they're like, you know, I know that they're conservative, but they don't talk about politics or anything. And I know that they did not vote for Trump, and so it's like,
so like I've not been kicked off Facebook like you, but like I friends in quotes like with like people I went to grade school with and some high school people that like I'm not actually friends with, but like we know each other because we went to school or whatever, and I'll see some of them come on and like, they'll talk about the Eagles, they'll talk about the Phillies, but I'll also see their garbage ass shit that they put up as well. They live in a different reality than everybody else. Like,
does Facebook still have the amazing fake fucking like news articles where it's like Kid Rock fucking said he would not perform with Taylor Swift? Like, yeah. Is he still doing that?
Yes, the one I remember is like there's a lot of those things that popped up after Charlie Kirk died.
Guy Fieri kicks Robert De Niro out of his restaurant for being woke.
there's still nonsense. There's still nonsense like that.
Yeah,
you're not missing anything. I'll open it every couple of days and scroll about two or three down. I'm like, that's enough of that. And, like, shut it down.
It was amazing the amount of right-wing content I was getting on Facebook, considering, like, there's nothing in any of my posting activity that would, like, suggest I'm right-wing whatsoever.
No,
and if you think about it, that's going to get worse everywhere, because I think they bought up TikTok now. The right-wing kind of has that. Like,
yes, and that's the thing. That's always been the...
They've taken over the media, dude. That's kind of scary.
The thing about, like, the woke media is that it isn't woke. So much of it is owned by...
It's almost all right wing now.
Yes.
And, like, you think about that, like, the swing in the last election with young people, I feel like that can only get worse if they take over TikTok. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's going to be a chicken and egg thing where, like, in theory, yes, I know what you're saying. But what's going to tend to happen is people are not going, like, people will find another avenue.
Yeah, I think the ones that are already kind of, like, in that ecosystem and that little bubble, they're gonna be worse. But I think, like, the smarter ones are gonna they're just not gonna use TikTok. They'll find whatever the new thing is.
I'm actually proud that, like, I do have a TikTok account. I went on there, like, once and said this is dumb, and I have not touched, like, I don't think I even have the app on my phone. Like, I basically don't have TikTok. And I, like, look at my wife and I'm just like, man, this shit can't be good. Like, she's on there, like, a lot. It's just like, dude, like, again, I'm on Twitter a lot, but that's also not good. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
social media, not good.
Yeah, I think social media in general has turned out to be a giant fucking...
Well, again,
debacle. Yeah, it's like
those things where if you get in a high,
it's not even social. It's just like a brainwashing fucking machine. Tony had the right idea. You got off all that fucking shit.
That's right. I have nothing. It's great.
Tony's probably, like, way less angry than all of us about everything.
Well, I mean, part of it is designed to keep you angry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And again, I think social media does it, but I also think people feed into it. Because, like, it's even back on the old Twitter days, like, when people would, like, quote tweet something to dunk on people, I'm like, you're just, like, putting it on everybody else's face to see.
I hate people that do that. That, like, there's people I know, and I don't know why, like, some of them I have unfollowed, but, like, that's their thing on Twitter, is dunking on people. It's like, dude, you don't have to respond to every fucking thing. Like, and you're just, like, picking on fucking people. Who gives a shit? Like you said, you're giving them more attention.
Yeah.
There's one guy I follow on Twitter who's, like, so, like, he does this all day and he's so angry. And the dude lives, like, at Disney World. I'm like, how do you fucking, like, have a fucking season pass to Disney World and you're this angry, bro? Go to fucking Disney World.
Yeah, go have fun. Like, stop being angry. And that's something I have noticed about conservatives, is they are always angry. Like, there's no moments of, like, levity for them. They're always pissed off.
Yes, and then when, because again, it's the same thing. I think of Charlie Kirk, which I don't like too, but it's like, when they couldn't blame trans rumors.
Oh, they did.
They tried. And then they moved on because there wasn't enough evidence. And now I guess they're blaming Jewish people?
No, because he had a trans girlfriend or whatever. That was enough for them.
No, because again, I think people have moved on from it. No, people don't talk about it in that way.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, too. They're like, this is civil war. It's like, dude, that shit, I don't know how long ago it happened, but it feels like ancient now. Like, it feels like... Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like news and everything moves on so fast that, like,
it was just 3 weeks ago.
Was it, really? It feels
maybe like four. Something it might have been 4 weeks.
It feels
ago.
Like something that happened last year. Like, that's how quick shit moves on. Like,
it was definitely in September.
It was September 10th.
So yeah, a month ago now, 4 weeks ago. Yeah. Insane.
Think about it. Doesn't it feel long ago to you guys? Like, I don't really think about it anymore.
Everything feels so long ago.
Yeah.
But because they can't focus on anything, they move on. because they have to be angry about something else. And it's like, at some point, I think what you were trying to get to, at some point, people have to be like, just, you know, like, what are you mad at now? You're mad that, like, I think recently they were mad at a Netflix show that it was had trans ideology. The show was canceled like 3 years ago.
Oh, it is that the one Elon Musk was like, cancel your Netflix subscription.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, it's yeah, like, you guys aren't watching this shit. I there's no way they're watching that. So who cares? Like, I don't know. I don't.
But that's the thing. If you don't watch it, and like if everybody doesn't watch it, then it will get canceled. Or if you don't watch it, just watch something else that makes you happy. I don't know what, like,
another, that's the thing. I, yeah,
but they like they probably only know about it because they saw about it on Twitter or something, and it's like, ah, yeah, fucking, this is bullshit. It's like, dude, you wouldn't even have known about this show.
I don't think anything makes them happy. Okay. Well, circling back to games.
Yeah, well, I don't remember
Chris,
how we got.
What have you been playing?
We're talking about like Assassin's Creed and shit. What the fuck happened?
Saudi
government stuff, right?
No, it was the Civil War.
Oh, it was Assassin's Creed. It was
Yeah, you brought the Assassin's Creed Civil War in.
I'm angry about that. I wanted to play that.
Yeah. I've been playing. a few things. Jeff did not mention it, I think because he's angry at it. Super Mario Galaxy 2.
I did play that.
Been re-released. I think I'm past where you were though, Jeff, because you got a little angry.
I don't want to play it.
I get that too, because you can't play it with the Pro Controller.
I mean, you can. That's the only way I'm gonna play it. I'm not gonna play it. So,
how do you aim Yoshi's tongue?
You have to move the Pro Controller.
Oh, you have to move the. Yeah, though that sucks. So I've been playing it in handheld. There's a lot of motion controls in this, which they've translated fine to the touchscreen. Yoshi in particular needs to, like when you want to use his tongue to like use it as a slingshot to fling you up to higher levels, or you want to grab an enemy to shoot them out of your mouth or grab anything, like you have to touch the screen, or I guess you could have them
or
detached and use it as like a pointer.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was a pointer control thing from the Wii. And yeah, I don't know how you feel about it on the touchscreen, but I like to play games on my TV and I like to use the Pro Controller, and it just treats the Pro Controller as the pointer. So like as you're playing, you have to like move the Pro Controller around to like aim every 2 seconds with his tongue. And I was just like, no.
Yoshi is introduced in the second level of this game, so like you're going to be using Yoshi a lot.
I'll shut up after this, but the other thing, like, I remember back in the day everyone would be like, oh, Super Mario Galaxy 2 is even better and it's like more amazing, and like even back on the Wii I was just like, I like the first one, and I felt like I was the only one that's like that, and I think I'm still like that, like, but mostly here it's just due because I literally played 2 levels of this, so I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever play this again. Like, it's fucking sucks on a Pro Controller.
I fully in agreement with you. If like that's how you want to play it, that does suck.
Like Galaxy 1 is playable because you don't have to do the Yoshi
right
shit. Like,
you don't have to do any of the pointer stuff because it was just collecting the little bits.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
In this, the pointer is kind of necessary. I still like immediately, I think I got to like the third or fourth level and was like, yeah, this is awesome, because there's just some like really awesome 3D platforming in it. You know, like the ones I really like are the ones like the switch, like where you're jumping and doing the spin move to, yeah, that flips the platforms. There's some like really cool ones just even early in this game. that are really neat, but you don't have to have Yoshi for them. So I don't know. I'm enjoying it, but I don't love the touch stuff. I feel I would probably be just as frustrated with you if I was trying to play with a pro controller. I haven't done it detached yet, so I don't know if it, like, how well it works, like, just with the old Wii controls, but I still do think it's very good. And I'm not upset that I bought it. Like, I've been playing like a couple levels here and there every day.
It's just the pointer stuff. Like, you have to do platforming with Yoshi where you're like, you're going up, up, up. Yep. And you have to, like, keep hitting things with the pointer, with his tongue. And that's, like, impossible to do with a pro controller. It just doesn't feel right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to do that quickly.
Like, I ran into an issue today where I had a boss at the end of a level. And the bosses aren't hard in these games, but you have to grab one of the spinies and grab it in Yoshi's mouth and then shoot it at the boss who's moving. So, like, if you're not lined up perfectly, like, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Just, it was like a little bit of a frustrating boss battle because of the motion touch control combo that needed to be done with it.
But do you remember where you, like, a Galaxy 1 guy or a Galaxy 2, or just like,
oh no, I mean, I do love them both, but if you were like, hey, which one do you think is better, I would have been Galaxy 2. I think,
really, I just don't think Yoshi adds anything to, like, I don't like playing with Yoshi. Like, I just rather it be more basic. I don't know.
I could see that. Yeah, I mean,
and like,
it's all personal preference.
Galaxy, right? One, like, was the one that, like, was the big new idea. You know what I mean? Like, Galaxy 2 is just, like, building off of that. So there's that.
And in fact, Galaxy 2, I think Galaxy 2 in, like, actual practice, and it still is in this, it's like, here's just a list of, like, levels.
Yeah.
Like, go do them, and then there's, like, branching paths and stuff. So it's more like, and I think Galaxy 2 is like a level pack.
I think that's where people fall in on it. Is I am of the mindset, and I've not revisited them, and I will do this when I do, because I was very much a Galaxy 1 was. It's weird because of that. I think Galaxy 1 is the better game because Galaxy 1 was new and exciting and different. Galaxy 2 is. It has a lot more, but it also kind of feels like you're building on a really great foundation. So it's hard to be like, oh yes, this is the better experience when, I mean, I guess the big difference here is taking away the world, the overworld, which I don't think added anything in Galaxy 1, really. You don't Planetarium or whatever it is. And I think Mario 64 remains the peak of that. Because I don't like Aldefino's cool in a way, but it also does not necessarily add to Sunshine. And I think ultimately Odyssey is where they wanted to take Galaxy 2
with. I think why I end up on Galaxy 2 is I just like the levels better.
Yeah, it's again, I think it's a much tighter. It's better on paper, but it's better in the sense that it's also just
more Galaxy. Like, we took that same idea, we just did more. We made some of them harder, and you know, we added in Jeff's best friend Yoshi.
Cool. Yeah. And I think at the time, also, Yoshi being in a 3D game for the first time, the only time, I think, was a big talking point for a lot of folks. But again, like I said before, I've not revisited them since the Wii, is like, to me, these were like, it's a 9.9 and a 9.8.
Sure. Yeah, they're both great. I could see why Jeff is frustrated with it right now. And if I wasn't playing it in handheld, I would probably be right there with them, because I generally don't detach the Joy-Cons from When I turn in the dock, like I sit on the couch and I play with the Pro Controller. I don't want to have to go up and get my Joy-Cons to play this game. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. I'm not disappointed in my purchase. Also played Fast Fusion, which came out at launch. That's a fun, cheap sci-fi racing game. It's like the one cool mechanic is that you buy like the new racing vehicles and you can fuse them together to create better racing vehicles. but it's really just like a stat boost. It's like if you mix this one with that one, you'll get like a +4 acceleration over what the max ones are you already had, and it gives it a new name. It's kind of neat. Tracks are cool. There's some neat environmental like stuff. Like there's one that has like tornadoes everywhere, and if you get caught up in the tornado, it will kind of like blow you off the track or make it hard to control. It's for $20. It's a decent racing game, but it's not like anything. Oh my god, that's amazing! Like,
well, it's like this is like a series, right? Like,
yeah, they've made a bunch of these. Yes. It's very much like Wipeout. Yeah,
it's kind of just like, yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive for like a small studio on these kind of graphics on these systems, you know?
Yeah, it's a very nice looking game.
And that's their big thing, because that was also their thing at the Switch launch. They did.
Yes. All right. Yeah. That's the one that I played, I think.
Because, yeah, I was like to say, because I don't know what they did in between that.
I did not look into them, but I know that they made a bunch of these fast games. So
I think
Fast Fusion might be the fourth.
Okay. Oh wow! Well, I played one of them.
Yeah, I knew Fast RMX was a Switch launch title, and I think they might have done something.
Yeah. So here we go. I just pulled it up. Fast Racing League was a Wii Shop game. That was the first game. Then Fast Racing Neo was a Wii U game. Fast RMX was a launch title for the Switch. And Fast Fusion was a Switch 2 launch title.
I played the Wii U one. That's cool, though. They're basically putting out like launch games for each Nintendo system, just showing what they could do on it. Like, I don't know. It's cool.
And they've done a bunch of other stuff. I don't know any of these games, but they've been making games since the Game Boy Color. So,
wow, that's cool.
Neat stuff. Also play. It's spooky season, so playing some horror games. I will get to Silent Hill F. Haven't got there yet, but I played Choo Choo Charles. Have you guys heard of that one?
Not at all.
So it's about it takes place on this island, and there's a bunch of train tracks on it. And Charles is a sentient
Choo Choo train, I hope.
Choo Choo train that has spider legs. So he's not on the tracks, he'll just chase after you. You get a train, and like that's how you kind of move around the island, and you do like little quests. There's like a neat little story about you have to find these eggs and stop the cult and ultimately stop Charles. It's short. I think it took me like 3 hours to get through. It's relatively cheap. I think I got it for like $7 on an Xbox sale at one point. I don't think it's more expensive than 20. It's a little janky, but like if you're looking for like a cheap, like neat little idea for spooky season, Choo Choo Charles works. And then last thing, after I beat Choo Choo Charles, I need another spooky game. So I started Tormented Souls, which Jeff has talked about in the past. That is a straight up Resident Evil like knockoff.
I think, again, it's been a few years since I've played it, but I think I remember saying that where I was like,
you did, yeah.
It basically just feels like the old, like if you like old school Resident Evil, you'll probably like this.
Yep, it is. Like it drops you off. You're in a, like an abandoned asylum or hospital or something, and there are it's weird because it's like it plays like Resident Evil, but the monster design is very kind of like Silent Hill-y. Where it's like freakish, it's more
weird,
like
kind freaky of, shit. Yeah,
yeah, like as opposed to like monsters. Zombies. Yeah, so like it's kind of neat. I'm struggling. I'm lost right now. I can't figure out I know where I need to go, but I can't figure out how to get there because I'm like missing something. So I probably have to like look up a guide. But it looks great. Like, and I think it's a few years old at this point because it's Tormented Souls 2 actually comes out in 2 weeks.
What? Yeah, I didn't know this. Oh my god! I got another game to look forward to. Hell yeah, dude!
Yeah, so I think it comes out the 23rd.
What the fuck? Least,
when at least when I boot up the game,
I need to finish Dragon Quest quick.
Yeah, but you're gonna have Dragon Quest 1 and 2 coming out.
I have Dragon Quest 1 and 2. I'm gonna have fucking Tormented Souls 2, and then what was the other game? That's Outer Worlds. What the fuck?
It's a busy fall. So.
Yeah. Ignoring the fact that Pokemon's out next week, and yeah, it's gonna be a very busy few weeks, months.
The one thing outside of it being like Resident Evil, I was like, hey, maybe I'll stream this game. Like, I'll like put it up because like Resident Evil could kind of be like a game you could stream, people watch along with you.
Yeah.
So like, you get like a letter in the mail, blah blah blah, and then you end up in this hospital, and you kind of walk around a little bit, and then something happens, and it goes black, and then the game kind of really picks up. But the opening cutscene there is just this chick that you're playing completely naked in a bathtub. So I'm glad I did not choose to stream it on Twitch. It's like just immediately I was like, oh, wow. I was not expecting.
Would you get in trouble for that?
I don't know, but I didn't want to like risk a ban. Like,
yeah,
like, I'm not at the game, dude. I'm just playing it.
I don't think they take kindly to nudity.
Yeah, but it's not like you're pulling your Johnson out. You're playing a video game, like,
right? Right. It's. I agree, but Twitch is weird. So, that's it. That's what we've been playing. Earl, tell us about.
Do I have to?
Tomb Raider, the Cradle of Life.
It's a movie.
That's true.
Does she get naked in it?
No.
No.
Oh, then fuck that. I'm not watching.
She does wear a bikini at one point.
But for no apparent reason.
That's like peak. What year is this? Like peak Angelina hit, right?
3?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I was going to say, I think Tony remembers more of this movie than I do, Dad.
Well, I watched it like a couple of hours ago, so.
He did his homework. I clearly have not.
That's kind of how the movie starts, right, Tony? It's like she's in a bikini on like a sea-doo or something.
Doing tricks on a sea-doo for no reason.
No, doesn't make any sense. Just it's long. It's like a 5-minute scene of her doing tricks and shit.
And then, like, why are you doing it? Like, oh, I just like to have fun. Like, they make her explain it.
So bad. Go ahead, Earl.
But yes, I mean, it's a nothing movie. It is a nothing movie. Because I think... Gerard is in here, given a interesting accent. She's trying to... Honestly, I do not remember this movie. Part of it is I watched it. I didn't remember we were originally going to do it like 2 weeks ago. But it's just one of those movies that's utterly forgettable. Like, the bad guy's like he's like 100 years older than Lara Croft. Almost every guy in this movie beats her up. She doesn't really win many fights, which I thought was weird. I think she wins the one fight in the cave with the Asian dude and the sword.
Yes. And
I think Gerald Butler beats her up, and then she just stabs him. No, she shoots him.
There's a fight at the end where she ambushes the villain, hits him, and then stands there while he pushes her against the wall.
I was so confused. I thought I missed something.
It makes no sense.
I found it very boring. outside of like Angelina Jolie looking good, I just did not. Yeah.
Somehow there's a scene where she and Jared Butler jump off a building and they make it boring. Yeah. It's just like them it's gliding.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say that's not the same one when they jump off the building and hang upside down. I'm like, how is this uneventful that you're hanging upside down from this chase? And I'm just like, okay, sure.
Well, they jump off a skyscraper and like glide down to a ship and land on the deck, and like you're sitting here watching this scene, and it's just nothing happening. And you're just waiting for them to land. It just there's nothing going on. It's boring. It's not exciting. They're not being chased. The end kills me too. The end is the worst. When she's like touches Pandora's box and pretends to open it for a moment and then stops. Like, oh, so there's nothing mystical or magical in this movie at all now. Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
It is really dumb.
Thank you for teasing us.
Yeah, I just looked at what I wrote up about it on Letterboxd and it's like stupid and boring.
Yeah. Because the first one was kind of dumb, but it was dumb fun. This one's just dumb.
Yeah. The there was like a charm to the last one. This has none of that. Like,
yeah.
It's not good. I don't think it looks particularly good either. Like, yeah, there's very little redeeming. I mean, Angelina Jolie looks good.
It looks better in the other movie, though.
That's true.
We don't need that movie to prove that she looks good.
Right. It was already kind of established at that point. It's a bad Lara Croft movie or Tomb Raider. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life. It's a terrible name. There's so much wrong with this.
The thing is that trying to make her like it's weird. I guess that was always the joke with like Uncharted. It's like it's just Indiana Jones, but they try so desperately to make her Indiana Jones, but they don't. Indiana Jones at their heart are also kind of romance movies, and
sure,
this one and the previous one. Terrible romances.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible romances.
She shoots the guy at the end of this one and then cries for like half a minute and then is completely over it.
Yeah, which is also weird because like half this movie point is like she's not going to sleep with him or they had a previous relationship and it was whatever. I don't know.
I don't like this movie.
No.
Not good.
I'm giving it an F.
I'm fine with that.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. Jesus, it's so long. The Cradle of Life. And we're saying this was 2003, Earl?
Yeah. I think we're saying it's not like we're making up the year.
Tony, where do you place this on your rankings?
Oh, I would also give this an F. This is a bad movie. There's no redeeming. It's not a Tomb Raider movie. It's a bad action movie, but it's not bad in the sense like, oh, I enjoyed the campiness of it all. Yeah, it's right. Bad and not entertaining.
Like you can enjoy the campiness of Mortal Kombat to a degree. Yeah. Double Dragon has. But this is just like I remember Double Dragon for better or worse. I remember like Mortal Kombat. I remember this. I literally sitting here being like, what happened in this movie? You're pointing out stuff. I mean, yes, that did happen. She does like because at some point this is the one where she has to like the thing goes into the ooze or the acid water and she has to like get it back, right? Like, yeah, that happened. I don't know why. I don't remember the setup, but I know she does that.
It's Pandora's tears created the acid, Earl.
Sure.
Sure. Sure they did.
Earl, where are you ranking this?
Oh, I'm team F. I'm team F.
Jeff, B. Jeff has stepped away. I think we're in agreement. It's an F. Jeff did when we were going to talk about this a couple weeks ago, he did tell me say it was a C. He did not watch it. He was
yes.
Really... or he would not have said it was a C.
Yes.
He was just yeah, just tell that it's a solid C. What is our next movie, Earl?
Now our next movie is House of the Dead. And that's going to be fun.
Can't wait for that one. It's going to be great.
Fun.
Top of my list.
Having watched it ahead of this one, because I got them crossed up for some reason, I think it's more fun than this awful.
Oh, it's more fun, movie. But it is.
It's very bad, but it yeah. is more fun.
And I have some notes on it too, because I've actually seen a director's cut as well. And I would like to discuss that for whatever it's worth.
Bring your director's cuts notes in 2 weeks when we talk about House of the Dead. It's getting late. I thought we would do top 40 for Mario, but it's his 40th anniversary all year long. So we can push Mario to a day when we don't have as many games or stuff to cover. So we'll do Mario top 40 at a later date in the next little bit. House of the Dead, Uwe Boll's 2003 masterpiece. We'll do that.
We're losing the term masterpiece here.
I may have incorrectly used that term.
I will say I saw there's a bar in New York City that does something called a disaster piece, and I'm like, I love that term.
Disaster piece.
Yeah, no, that works, and that might explain House of the Dead. I don't think it explains Alone in the Dark.
Oh god! I think that's one I've not seen yet.
Ooh, that one's gonna be a treat for you, Earl.
Yeah, so I am. Yes, like I said, we're gonna be thankful for what we did earlier this year compared to like the next few movies. Because yes, I think Alone in the Dark. Like, this is we're entering the Ubo era of video game movies, and he does a lot of them. I think he's five.
Alone in the Dark was Christian Slater and Tara Reid.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's really bad.
Then he does
In the Name of the King.
The Name of the King and Postu and Blood Rain.
Blood Rain. There is an Alone in the Dark 2.
Yes. So I think that might fall into that weird camp of I don't know if we're doing like DTV?
Oh, yeah, no, we should definitely skip that shit. We'll be here forever. We will never get them all done if we dive into the... Although I do think maybe we should cover Far Cry.
Yeah, I'm down for Far Cry. I mean, not in that it's good, but I'm down for...
There's a Far Cry movie?
Yeah. By Uwe Boll.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that dude licensed everything, Jeff. What Far Cry, Postal, In the Name of the King is Dungeon Siege.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Blood Rain, Alone in the Dark, House of the Dead. Yeah, so many. Then I think they did cut him off. The German government at that point cut him off.
Like, you know what's funny is I've only seen like one of his movies. I think it was called like Rampage or something.
Which is actually decent.
I liked. I was like, you know, it's about like a mass shooter, I think. But like,
yeah,
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's like it is a serviceable.
It's better than you'd expect
indie movie.
No
one for his name. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So House of the Dead next time. I will have Pokemon ZA.
I think it should be downloading soon.
It downloaded to my Switch, so I don't think it unlocks till next Thursday.
Though. No, it doesn't, but I have it because it's the ass of my. Because you end up using the
voucher. Yeah.
I mean, I'll do whatever I have to do to upgrade it, but like, yeah, I'm like $50 at least get in the door. That's not $50, but I'm not doing the math again. But yeah.
Yeah, the upgrade's $10, I think. On the eShop, you just go there, and if you have it pre-ordered. You can just buy the upgrade right away. So hopefully mine will look better. I don't know. yeah, so we'll have that. I'm sure Jeff will have some more Dragon Quest. Tony's continuing to play Endless Legend. And I'm sure you'll play more Ghost of Yotai.
Yep.
So we'll have all that in 2 weeks when we return. But I'll be in Vegas next week, so.
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Yeah, we'll see how expensive it has gotten in the 2 years.
Remember, always double down on 11. Always double down on 11.
On 11? On on roulette?
No.
Oh, on blackjack. Yeah. Like, I don't generally play cards. Which would make why I have no idea what you're talking about.
Funny thing, real quick. One funny thing real quick. Chris, I was telling you about that show Black Rabbit last night.
Yep.
There's a scene in that, I think it's like episode 2, where this dude is trying to get his money so they could pay off these like loan sharks. And he's like playing blackjack, and he walks in with like a few grand, and he's up to like, he's got like 75 grand. And he puts it all on the line on a blackjack hand, so that if he wins it, he'll have the money to pay off, you know, this huge debt that he owes. And dealer's got a bus card, and the guy next to him decides to hit on like 17, and he's like, "Dude, you really want to do that? You don't want to do that? You don't want to do that?" Like. The guy's like, "No, man, we're all winning, man. I'm gonna hit." And he loses his 75 grand because of this fucking idiot next to him. That's the bad thing about blackjack sometimes.
Because he takes the card
that would have busted the dealer. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
I hate when that I don't play blackjack much anymore because it's so expensive now. But like, I try to like not look at that stuff because they can hurt you as much as they help you, you know. But like, it just makes you mad when you try to help someone. Like, if you're an idiot, you could ask the dealer what to do and they'll tell you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And some people are just like stupid. Like,
it's like I know.
Well, it's not even that they know. They're like, "Oh, I'm feeling good. I feel mucky." It's just like, "No, dude, you don't know anything. Like, you're gonna lose your money, you fucking idiot. Like, you're gonna lose me money too because you're fucking an idiot.
Stop feeling lucky because you're losing my money."
Yeah,
yeah. I'll probably play some craps. I don't know if I'll play blackjack, but
I don't know how. I need to learn that, man. I've had people try to teach me at the casino, and it's just like it's. I don't know why it's hard for me to learn that game, but yeah.
Too much math.
The board is schizophrenic. Like there's so much stuff on it. You don't have to play any of it, but it's very hard.
You just stand there and just like bet, right? Like you just bet, "Oh, well, it's going to be this or that." But it's just.
You can. The base is like you want to play the pass or the don't pass line.
It's just. I see people playing it and they are having the best, like that's the like in any casino you're in, the people are having the most fun are playing craps. And I have zero idea how to play it or how it works.
Craps tables get loud, and the loud tables is where people are winning money. So it's like, that's the ones you want to be on. Because generally you're all playing together. So like if the numbers come out, you're winning some money as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back in a couple weeks with some video game stuff, and hopefully the world's not on fire. We'll check in on that. We'll see how that's going. But Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.